So I sat down and I looked at my eyes and I saw arba markavos I saw four chariots going forth between two mountains. The mountains were made of copper. Okay, so we've already mentioned the four kingdoms in the last part. And the four kingdoms reference either refers to obviously Yaakov David or refers to all those. But here it seems clear that it's the four kingdoms that are going to take over in Gullus. That those are the four kingdoms that we're referring to over here. The four kingdoms are probably referring to Babel, Persia and Mede, Yavon, and Edom. The four upcoming Gullus that they're going to be inside. That makes sense for what it's going to be. They're going to be like mountains of brass, mountains of nechoshes, mountains of copper. They're going to be very, very powerful. Some say the two mountains that have passed through are the base of Mikdash, the first and second base of Mikdash, meaning that these Gullus will last through and destroy the Batya Mikdash over here. The other thing you want to notice over here is up until now, Zechariah was seeing certain visions, and he had no idea what was going on. Now, although he is going to ask the Malach about certain things over here, of what am I seeing over here, this was not an unclear vision as it was before. It seems that already he had started to getting more of an aspak laria hameira, never the full level that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to get to, but clearer that he didn't have to ask any questions the way that it was before, the real
visions. He's not like Moshe got the explicit law.
No
do
question.
This, don't do that.
Yeah, there's no question. Visions, not words. There's no question. There's no comparison between Zechariah and Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the end of the Nebuah. But at least it's not as unclear as the night visions that he was seeing before, that he had no clue what was going on. Okay. Either way, the reason why it could also refer to Edom. Edom was split off into two kingdoms. Why? Because apparently Edom split off into two kingdoms. I'm not so sure what that means. Plus Bez. Merkava Rishona Susim Adum. In the first chariot, there were red horses. Now that might be the color of blood, and therefore it's referring to Babel, the Babylonians who destroyed the Jews and decimated them completely, you know, took them down. Merkava Sheni Susim Shorim. And in the second one, there were black horses. That refers to Madai, the darkness that was caused during the days of Haman and Achashverosh. As we all know, Achashverosh, one of the reasons for his name is Hushkuru Peneim Shal Yisrael, that the faces were blackened during the times of Achashverosh, and that's what it refers to over here, the Shchorim over here. Makavash Lush is Susim Labanim. In the third chariot, there were white horses. That's Persia. White is because, excuse me, they helped build the base of Mikdash itself. Makavash Ravi is Susim Brudim Amutim. The fourth one was Edom, spotted and ash-filled, clayish type horses. Now, either that's referring to Edom, and the reason why is because it was something that was unclear. Sometimes Edom is on our side and helping us out. Sometimes Edom is totally against us and totally destroying us. They're either our brother or our mortal enemy. And that's why it was ash versus being spotted. Others say, by the way, that the white horse is referring to Yavan. It's referring to Greece. And that the Greeks were as tahor as they possibly could be. They tried to get into Chokma, even though their bodies got in the way and they were doing lots of physical things that were not there.
That's not the interpretation he got.
What do you mean that he got?
In Lake Pasig Dalad, and hey, he asked, what does this mean?
Oh, yeah, in Akanami. But we're going to see that he's going to see those. The Levanim are coming after him. He's not going to be explained what the Levanim mean, why they're white.
Yeah, Levanim is, you know, Rax is Yavan, but...
it makes sense that it would be Yavan over here, yeah.
Rashi says it's Paras.
So we're going to see, to me, it doesn't make much sense to say it's Babel, Modai, Paras, and Edom, because where's Yavan? You'd think the Modai and Paras would go together. But either way, regardless, some say that the clay with the Targum seems to say that it's the color of something of pottery. It's referring to Yishma'elim. But that's for another thing we're going to get to soon.
Rashi says Brudim is Yavan.
Brudim is Yavan? Brudim is Yavan. He didn't say Edom?
No, Amutzim is Edom.
Amutzim is Edom. Oh, so he's saying it's both. It's Yavan and Amutzim is Edom.
What color is Brudim?
Brudim are spotted. Yeah, so Bartolus, right? That's what it refers to. Plus, Dalib, Anva Omer Alamalachad over being, I got up and I spoke to the Malach speaking to me, and this is the last time I'll say this. Ma'ila Aduni, what's going on over here? Ra'yana Malach, we over Eli. Ela Arba Ruchos Hashemayim, Ruchos Hashemayim, Yotzos Mitziatzal Adon Kulahor. It's either the four winds of the heavens, meaning the four nations coming from the different, you know, areas of the world, that are coming out to stand before the Lord of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asher Boha Susim Ashkorim Yotzim La'ar Tzafon. The black horse is going to the land of the north, right? That's referring to Alavanim Yotzu Al-Acharayim. The white ones are going to go after them, right? And it's a Dabruzim Yotzu Al-Eretz Teman. The spotted ones going to the land of Teman. Now, it makes sense. The black horse is going to the land of the north. That would be referring to Modai and Paras, okay? The Levanim, they're going out after them. That could be because Greece ended up taking up after them, if it's referring Aaron agrees. If it's Kaparos and Maldai, then I guess it makes sense as well. And the white one, I'm sorry, the spotted ones going to the land of the Tamon, that obviously refers to Edom that went down to the south. Why doesn't it mention Bubba? What about the red horses that are mentioned over here? The red horses are not mentioned because Bubba already destroyed Klal Yisrael. Bubba's already done. It's over. By the time he's speaking, Zachariah's getting these Nebuahs, Bubba's done.
Yeah, but Edom came from what we called Edom in Tanakh. It came from Rome.
So, you're right. Maybe it means that the Edomites came from up north and went south. Either way, it says that these horses went to the south and they went down that way. Yeah, it's hard to say it's Greece, but I guess in theory it could be. The ash-colored ones, they go out. They search throughout the land. So they go forth, they walk about the land, and they go around everywhere. Here, the Roman Empire is referring to how long they're going to reign, that they're going to walk through the earth. In other words, they're going to take over for quite a while, and they're going to be in charge for quite a while. Unlike the Yavon Gullus, which is 52 years, unlike Paras and Maldai and Babel, which was 70-odd years altogether, Edom was for thousands of years, almost 2,000 years, where Edom is technically in charge, and that's what it refers to over here. That's that. Right. And that's that. We'll talk about the Nechoshes, but you know, the Nechoshes also, the copper, you know, mountains up above could also refer to Nechoshim, that they were determined not to listen to the words of all the people, the Jews, that was referring to Edom. All right, Vayadikosi. Then he cried out to me, this is the Malach, Vayidabre Lemor, and he spoke to me, saying, Re'ei, Hayotel Aritzaphon, look at the ones that are going to the north, Einichu is Ruchid Aritzaphon. They've relieved my spirit in the land of the north. The ones going in the north, which is referring to now, the black and the white ones, relieved my spirit. They took over the Babylonian area. The Bavel is now destroyed by the Persians and the Medes. So look, those going to the north just took care of everything they have. Yidvar Hashem Elai Lemor, then Hashem spoke to me again, saying, Lakoch Meis Agola Mechelzi Meis Tuvia Meis Yedaya. So this is a new thing over here. Go take from the exiled people, from Cheldai, Tuvia, and Yedaya. Uvasa Atav Yamahun, you should come on this day. Uvasa Beis Yoshia Ben Spania Asher Bo Mi Bavel. You should go to the house of Yoshia Ben Spania, who come from Bavel. Now this Nebuah is going to be very, very interesting. What was he taking from these people, Cheldai, Tuvia, and Yedaya? Cheldai, Tuvia, and Yedaya were all sent by the king, Darius II, to give them tons of gold and silver and all the stuff that they were going to use to build up the second base of Mikdash. These guys were sent by Darius II to give it over, and he, meaning Zechariah, is being told to go out, meet them, and take them in to be able to give it over. You're going to take that gold and silver, you're going to make crowns. You're going to put it upon the head of Yoshua ben Yotzadok, the Kohen Gadol. Now notice, conspicuously missing here, is Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel should have been the guy at the time. He was from Yehuda's lineage. He eventually was going to have a child that was going to be Mashiach. Zerubbabel was related to all that. But for some reason, he's not getting the crown. Both the crowns are going to be on Yoshua ben Yotzadok, the Kohen Gadol's head. Now maybe it's because Zerubbabel never became king. His children will be king, but he himself never got the king. But it seems obvious that the Kohen Kuna Gedola is going to be represented by a silver crown. Silver is usually the lashon of love, of ahava, as in mechsafi, I desire to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And kingship is by the excellence of gold. And that's referring to the kingly thing over here. Now we're going to see, none of these crowns were actually worn by Yoshua ben Tzadok, Yotzadok. But Mark loved Lamor, and she said to him, saying, Kol Mashem Tzvokos Lamor, in Eish Tzemach Shmo, there will be a man whose name is Tzemach. He will sprout out. From underneath him there will be bloomings. He will build up the future. This is not referring to the base of Mikdash now, which is already starting to be built. There's going to be somebody even better. It's not going to be his Zerubbabel, but it's going to be his kids.
What?
Tzemach is a reference to
Zerubbabel.
Yes. Not Zerubbabel. His kids. And as Tzemach David Avdecha. That's where we get the word of Tzemach in our tefillah when we say Tzemach David Avdecha. What do you got?
Who's Zerubbabel? Lamalav Yesh Posim Sof Melach Hamashiach. Oh, so he said Yesh Posim Sof Melach Hamashiach. I'm calling
him
Zemach David
Avdecha. Yeah,
that's the interpretation.
Okay, so I guess that's one thing out there. Interesting, because he brings down over here that it's not Zerubbabel. Maybe he brings it down in a different place. You know what I noticed, by the way? I've noticed that he brings Pshat.
Even Ezra says
later. It's annoying, yeah.
Even Ezra says who's Zerubbabel also.
That's interesting. It's interesting that he doesn't mention him.
But it makes sense in them. Well, because if they weren't, Zerubbabel was leader of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, and he's from Malchus Beis David, and he's building Beis Hamikdash.
So does
that he's telling Zechariah, they're doing the right thing now. This is what I want them to be doing right now.
Yeah, that is very interesting. I mean, it's weird that he's going to be that. Oh, I mean, mean, Abarbanel says it as well, that Kohen is Zerubbabel. So it's weird. Okay, it's weird that he doesn't mention it by name. Who even as Heichel Hashem will build up the Heichel of Hashem. Again, if it's referring to the Heichel of right now, the base of it's right now, then Zerubbabel makes sense. Right? But if it's not, who Yisahod, he'll take on, he'll bear majesty. He'll sit down and rule on his throne. The Kohen Gadol will be on his throne. There will be peace between them. The leader of the Jews and the Kohen Gadol will love each other at that time. Now, if it's referring to Mashiach and Eliyahu HaNavi, Mashiach and Eliyahu HaNavi makes a lot of sense. If it's referring to Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel never reigned. That's the kasha that I have in all those concerns. Zerubbabel was never the king.
He
was a leader. He led them, but then he went back to Babel. Zerubbabel went back.
He was never the Nazi?
Never
equivalent of whatever the Nazi was.
They did not have it.
No, I know they didn't have it, but like just like, you know, afterwards you had a Nazi who came from Alfred Bezov, and then they had a... Was he that role?
Yes, I mean, we definitely see that he took on that role for a little bit.
Was he
no question. Yes, I don't know how, but yes, he was. He was from that... He was direct in line to be the next king. That was Zerubbabel. That's why before, that's what Zechariah was told, that Zerubbabel could become the king, and he chose not
to. Wasn't Daniel also?
Daniel was offshoot a little bit. He was off by grandfathers or whatever it was, but he was from the Davidic line. So it was Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah, but they were off a little bit. Ba'ataros Tia Lechelem. No, remember, they're all listed in Rus's grandchildren. They mentioned Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah. That's the six grains that were given over to Rus. Four of those six grains were Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah. Right? David and Mashiach. So those are the six that are mentioned. Ba'ataros Tia Lechelem Otovi Ledaiah. Those crowns will remain to Chelem Tovi and Yedaya, Lechain Ben Tzvanya, and so to Lechain Ben Tzvanya, the Zikron Be'echel Hashem, as is Zikron for Hechel, in the Hechel of HaKadosh Baruch over here. Lechain is Yoshia, the son of Tzvanya over here. Apparently this guy was tremendously great, that's the person we mentioned up above, and apparently he was great, and he was a tremendous tzaddik in character traits, and he also knew a lot of Torah. Maybe that's the guy that's referring over here. And here we go, yeah, I'm sorry. Another interpretation is that both this refers to Yoshua Ben Tzaddik and Zubabel. Okay, so that's the other one over here. Either way, the Gemara explains that these crowns were hung from the windows of the Beis HaMikdash, suspended from golden chains, waiting for Mashiach to come and take it together with his Kohen Gadol, Mashiach and Eliyahu HaNavi. Urachokim yavohu bara beheichel Hashem. Many people from far away will come and build up the Heichel of Hashem. Yidatim ki Hashem tzvokosh lachani aleichem. Then you'll know that Hashem has sent me to you. This refers to Zechariah. V'hayim shumot tishmu b'kol Hashem alakeichem. And you should listen to the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Some say that those from far away who are going to rebuild is a reference to that Herod, when he rebuilt the second base of Mikdash, brought in workers from all over the place to be able to go through. Others say it's referring to Gula Shlema. Others say it's just referring to right now, and that's that. What could have been had they accepted it right now and done Shuvah and everything like that, instead it didn't work out the way that they planned. All right, Tark Dinavir, Vibishnas Arbalu Daryavish HaMelech, in the fourth year of Darius the King. Again, the second year of Darius the King, he had already sent in Ezra and Nehemiah. This is the fourth year of Daryavish. The word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Zechariah on the fourth of the month of the ninth month, which is Kislev. Okay, so the fourth of Kislev, this is what's going to happen over here.
So, this is like the ninth month.
We do that quite often. We do that quite, especially on Zechariah. In the beginning, there were four Nebuahs where it said exactly when he got it.
Yeah, but usually it says like the number of the month, not the number of the month
and the month itself. I hear you. This is one of the proofs. I'll bet you this is one of it. They ask how we know the Rosh Chodesh, that we know that Adar is the 12th month. That's the Gemara and Megillah. And it brings seven Rayas or eight Rayas. Two of them are from Esther. Right? But one of them brings from Zechariah over here. There's a bunch of places why that. And I remember there's a Marsher something that explains why didn't you just choose the one in Esther, which is the obvious one, or the one that says, the Chodesh Shnei Masor, Hu Chodesh Ador. That would be the obvious one. But the Gemara goes through like seven other answers, and this is one of them. Ba'ar Bala Chodesh Achi, the Kislev, saying that the ninth month is Kislev. All right. Here's what's
going to
happen.
That's what he was saying. It makes sense they wrote the date. Like, when people write things down that something very significant happened,
no,
God is talking to me.
Referring to the ninth month.
That's what you're referring to. I would assume that's the reason why, because that Gemara and the Gilip, we have to know why they added on all those. I'm going to go a little bit further before I come back to this. I'm going to come back for a second, but look what has happened. So, by Yishlach Beis El, this is a question about this. Either they sent two Beis El, or a guy whose name was Beis El sent, Star Etzer, that was his name. The Regem Melech. That was his name also. Star Etzer and Regem Melech. Va'anoshim and the Remen. Lechal also to Tanei Hashem, to ask the word of God, to daven it to HaKadosh Baruch.
Was there some sort of, what was in, I mean, it seems like it's saying that they were sent to Beis El.
Uh-huh.
Now, why there?
It might not have been city of Beis El.
Meaning the place of the house of God.
It's going to be
Samaria. Literally translated, you wouldn't say it was sent to Beis El.
Yeah, it really should be.
They were sent to the house of God.
Yeah, I think Beis El sent.
Yeah,
that's what you would say, Beis El.
It would be the use of Lib Beis El.
Or El Beis El.
Or El Beis El. There's no two in that.
The word is weird. Beis El is weird.
I don't know where I had.
Yeah, you might have seen something like it, but it is still weird. So either way, it could be two, or it could be the person who sent it. Either way, regardless, look at Pasuk Gimel. Okay, well, again, we're going to have to go back over here. But regardless, Lay more la Kohanim, Ashur Beis Hashem Tzvakos, to ask the Kohanim,
which makes sense, to come
Beis
El Beis Hashem, the house of God.
Yeah, but Beis El was a city. Beis El was not this city.
No, but maybe it's literally Beis El, the house of God.
Okay, I guess so.
He sent them to the house of God.
Listen, there's no question. There is a translation that way. There is a parish that says that. The other parish says that it's referring to a guy. Either regardless, so Beis Hashem Tzvakos, to the house of HaKadosh Baruch, with Ellen Avim, Lamor, to the Avim, asking the following. Should I be crying in the fifth month, the bad month, you know, the Nazir month, the month where we take off, so to speak, like I've been doing all these years? Now, what was the fifth month? What was the fifth month? Fifth month was Av, right? That's referring to Tisha B'Av. Should I be crying in Tisha B'Av? Now, hold on a second over here. This is the problem over here, and this is what goes through. So, the real question was, what's going on right now? We know the Beis Hamikdash is being rebuilt. It was in the midst of being rebuilt. It had started building in the second year of Dariavish's reign, and they've been now building it for 2 years, and it was nearing its completion. So the people weren't sure what to do in Bava. They were fasting the same way they had been because of the first Beis Hamikdash. Now the second Beis Hamikdash is being rebuilt. So now what do we do? Is Tisha B'Av still a fast day? What do we do about Tisha B'Av itself? Now, the kasha really is, so why aren't they coming back to the Beis Hamikdash? Why didn't they come back to Eretz Yisrael? If they see that everything's going well and the Beis Hamikdash is there, and they're planning on stopping the fast day, because clearly things are going well and it's going to be good, so why wouldn't he go back to Eretz Yisrael?
Directed to.
So, seven answers. They were definitely directed. There's no question that Avim were telling them to do it. So there were seven reasons why they didn't do it.
Was Darius telling them they were allowed to?
He sent back a lot of people.
He gave them permission to all leave and go.
And now, that could be, but either way, it seems he did send them back. Now, as we'll see in Ezra Nehemiah, he sends back Nehemiah with a whole group of people, obviously 35,000. That's a lot of people to send out.
Yeah, but there were a lot more people still.
Oh, no question. Yeah, 100%. But it seemed like they did have the ability. And by the way, that will apply to the whole nation. Individuals can still make the decision to come. Individuals can still come. That's not stopping them. So try it. Try to get out. Try to leave. See what ends up happening. So either way, there were seven reasons why they did not listen. Reason number one is they knew that the Shechina was not coming back for the second Beis Hamikdash. Or they thought that it wasn't coming back. If it wasn't coming back, there's no point to this Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash is not worth it in the first place. Number two, they thought that the settlement, which is true at the end of the day. Agreed and agreed. Regardless, that's what they were thinking. Number two, they thought that the renewed settlement in Yehuda was not going to last. Ammon and Moab were still trying to kill them. They were worried about the Kusim that were living in the land. Right? They didn't think that it was going to be kept. Granted, Darius II is being really nice to them because he might be a Jewish person. Right? And Esther is still around. But who says that that's going to last? That's number two. Number three, they didn't see Kibbutz Gullies. They expected miracles to happen. They didn't see it. That means that it's not the real Kibbutz Gullies. They're waiting for that to happen. Number four, they saw that all the food and the fruits and everything was destroyed. Now, granted, that had changed as of lately. Because remember, Zechariah was telling them in the very beginning, do you notice that all your fruits are being destroyed? Do you notice that everything's being, you know, everything is disgusting or whatever it is? Don't you see that I'm telling you you're not doing the right thing because you're not building the basement? And once they started building, everything started becoming good. Right? But he was telling them, don't you realize what had happened? They thought it was still being destroyed, that the fruit was still not good. Number five, they thought that the halacha is that Hashgacha told them they had to stay in bubble and that you're not allowed to go back, that the desolation was permanent until Mashiach comes and that Mashiach was not here yet. I don't want to say it this way, but they saw this settlement as if it was a Zionistic element of people that are getting up in this world.
Where are these front answers from?
The man always brings it from the Medrash.
You don't say which Medrash?
No, he quotes it down from the Medrash. But he keeps going back to it. Everybody brings it down. If you'll search through the Rishonim, I'm sure you'll find
some
it.
Some of these answers
the
are kind of weak. I mean, nobody told us to go. We're not supposed to go back.
Who says it wasn't all seven? I mean, each one took place.
No, but
and they thought of each one of them, and they're like...
The easily answer is like, almost like, I don't want to say it's not my place.
I got it here. I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to be all political, but let's ask a question. Eretz Yisrael is clearly being built up again, even though the Arabs still own Temple Mount. Why are we not going back? How do we not see this keep
going? Well, it's hard. I think
you have your life here.
You're Iman here. You're the family.
Understood.
And everything.
But if they have Nevi'im, so I guess it was a little bit different. But they're seeing that things are changing. So why wouldn't you get up and go?
The change in there was much less significant if you want to compare it to today. Whereas I was 42,000.
Yeah, our spread.
Right.
But as opposed to all the people that were there. Sure. Yeah, but nonetheless, I mean, it's the same type of idea. I mean, there's excuses. So these are some of the excuses. Number six, they saw the Kusim in control of the northern part of the land, and they assumed that the Kusim were going to exert influence and be able to destroy that. Number seven, it wasn't started by a son of David HaMelech. Meaning, Zerubbabel was there, right? Zerubbabel was there, but in the end, they had no idea if he really was from the children of David HaMelech, if he was leading them. They saw it as an influence of Yoshua ben Yotzedek, possibly Ezra, Sofer was a Kohen. They weren't sure what to think of it. Now, all seven excuses were used by them, and now they're coming back and they're saying, okay, so because of that, most of us have not gone back. Now, what's the status of this? We're fasting, right? And we're fasting because the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Well, the Beis HaMikdash is now built up again. Maybe it's time for us to stop the fasting over here. Yeah.
It's the same kind of question. Why should we keep the second day?
Second day. Well, we do that because of Minhag HaMaseches Yadin. What do you mean by that?
No, but we now have the ability to, there is a fixed calendar, there's no...
But that's not the reason why we do it. That's not
we
the reason.
Do it out of it.
Because that's what they did in Golos,
right.
Even in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, because they couldn't get the message in time.
Yeah, but...
That's why.
Suffolk now.
I understand, but it wasn't...
So now they're asking...
The answer is because of Minhag HaMaseches Yadin.
Right.
The answer.
But that's not an answer. That, I mean, that's Minhag.
But Minhag is halakha.
But which ignores the fact. I don't want to get into the...
I hear what you're saying.
I don't want to get
it's
into...
It's not ignoring the fact. The halakha is... The Gemara asks it. The Gemara says Minhag HaMaseches Yadin is a halakha. That is a Minhag.
But these guys are asking, like, if we don't believe that this is the actual... temple, Beis HaMikdash, where the Shekhinah is going to rest, thing, this and all that, why are they bothering to ask if we should give up
because
on...
Because that's really what their quandary was. Their quandary was, well, wait a second, we understand that things are going really well right now, but nonetheless, we don't believe that this is the Iker. So therefore, what's our status when it comes to fasting? Are we really mourning for this day because the first Beis HaMikdash is being lost, or should we stop
if you don't
technically think they're going well?
Stop.
It's not that you don't believe in it. You're doubting it. I don't see this as the ultimate Geula. So if I'm not seeing it as the ultimate Geula, I don't think I want to listen. So that was their doubt. But you see the hypocrisy in what they're saying. We don't want to fast anymore, but we're not moving. We're not moving at the same time. Which is exactly what Zechariah catches them on, really, from our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yidvar Hashem Tzva Os Alai Lemor, the Pasuk Dalet. There is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, but that's really what they're asking. Is that true or not? That's really what they're asking. Do we have to be in total control or not? That's really what they're asking. What is the halakha? Is that enough? Now, we know that the answer is that they fell fast up until a certain point, but listen to how HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it. It's going to be harsh. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come back very harshly against us. Say to the people of the land, calls them Ami Arasim. Right? And the Quranim is saying the following, until now, you fasted and lamented in the fifth and the seventh month. It's referring to Av and Tzom Gedaliah, seemingly. You've done it for 70 years. Hatzom Samtuni Ani, did you do these fasts for my sake? Were they honestly L'Shem Shemayim? Everything you've been doing up until now, right? Did you really do this L'Shem Shemayim? When you eat and when you drink, you're eating for yourselves and you're drinking for yourselves. I gain nothing from your eating and your drinking. So to your fasting, it's only for you. You're trying to make yourselves feel better over here. You're fasting for your own benefit the same way you eat and drink for your own benefit. And if that's true, then really, you think I care about your fast days? You think I care about your fast days? The Gemara brings down this story of oil. Now, you should know, by the way, I don't know what this Gemara is in Babli. Maybe it's Yerushalmi and I totally missed it, or maybe it's in one of those weird places like Arachan and I just totally forgot about it. But the Arachan, the Gemara brings down a story of a woman who would fast one day and indulge in feasting for 2 days and praise herself for fasting that one day. Says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, by indulging in a feast right after the fast day, you're totally missing the point of what I wanted the fast day for in the first place. Now again, I don't need you to starve yourselves to death. That's not the point. But the point is not to and then feast for the next 2 days. It's to you eat what you need to eat, and that's that. We don't have I know it's like kind of obvious to us, but Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, like, you don't have a bigger meal after the fast day because you've been fasting all day. You just have your regular meal. That's the idea behind it. He said, the point behind a fast day, he said, is not about the fasting. It's about the tzedakah that you give, about the giving of food to poor people, and allowing others to be able to have what you have. Right? That's the point of the fast day. Did you do that? Now, I personally, I felt bad when I read this, because I'm sitting there and I'm like, do I give tzedakah when I fast on a service day? I mean, I know I do a kind of tester because, you know, I give my the shekel, maybe, and I'll do that. But, like, it is a good call. I don't think of that. I'm not thinking of the poor people on fasting. I'm fasting, and I'm, like, suffering my way through.
Yeah, but you're a shekel. You're giving stuck anyways.
Agreed, but nonetheless, it is a bit of a pellet. Maybe that is something that we should incorporate into our fast days. Remember that every time we fast, we should give some money.
For the Cheshbon HaNefesh to do teshuva, that's why you sell those slichos.
There's no question. There's also the Cheshbon HaNefesh to do teshuva. And I guess that's also, he doesn't talk about teshuva over here, which is interesting. You know, by the way, there's a Hare Kedem, Rev from Tomo, I forgot what his name is, based on the Rav's Shirim, on Rav Yashar Ber Soloveitchik's Shirim, the other one, Rav Shurkin, who has an unbelievable piece on the point of a fast based on the Rambam. Is the point of a fast in order to do tshuva, or is the point of a fast to remember what happened in the past? And he speaks about that, the chiluk between the two, and he speaks out two different Rambams, and he said there might be a difference between the Dalad Somos that we do for the Beis Hamikdash and all other fast days that we might have, you know, something like Tainis Bechoros or Tainis Esther, etc. It's an amazing piece, really an amazing piece, about two and a half pages. Great piece of work. Either way, regardless, right, that's that. Hello, as the Devar Mesher Korah Hashem Biyan Nevi'im. The words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said through the Nevi'im are shown in B.O.C. Yerushalayim, Yoshev Shleva, when Yerushalayim was doing well and settled, all the cities were, you know, around her, by Negev Asher Yoshev, and all the Negev and the lowlands were all sitting and all together, right, all those people were secure, right, everything was good. This is the type of thing that led to all the calamities that had happened. You know, you were saying these types of questions then. This is not the right way to go about things, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And I'm upset about that. But now comes the second part of the Nevi'im. Yidavar Hashem El Zachariah Lamor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Zachariah saying, pause the test. This is what God says. Mishpat emes shvotu. I want you to do a mishpat of emes, true justice. And then perform chesed and rachamim from one person to the other over here. Obviously, you have to adjudicate between one man and his fellow friend. But then I want you to be able to show some chesed and rachamim to those people. Do not forbear or repress the almana and the yasim, the widow and the orphan, and the ger, obviously. The ra'as ish achiv al tashu b'lavavchem. And don't think about the evil that caused one or the other. Now, again, this is a reference to what's going to be. In the second base of Mikdash, we know, is going to be destroyed because of Sinas Sina. In the beginning of the second base of Mikdash, Zechariah is warning them about what's going to be in the end. You realize that something bad is going to happen over here. You have to make sure that these types of things do not happen for the rest of time. This Sinas Kanam cannot be allowed over here. The Barbanel says, when most of the people didn't go up, they stayed in Golos because of all the deficiencies they saw in the second base of Mikdash. They saw the deficiencies, some of them we mentioned above, and that's that. The other thing is that they saw great men that weren't returning back. Like Daniel didn't return back immediately. Daniel, it's a question whether Daniel ever went back. Even though Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, Chag, Zechariah, Malachi, right, Mordechai, Zerubbabel, and certain others, Nehemiah and Ezra, all went back. Gemara. Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, the Gemara asked where'd they go afterward, and the Gemara explains where they got from, and it had to do with the wording of of the pasuk. There's a kasha also about Daniel, because Nebuchadnezzar seems to have gotten rid of Daniel because he was scared of him, thinking that everybody was going to treat him as a god when he survived the lions.
Later, there was, from the lion's pit story, that was much after Nebuchadnezzar.
There's a bit of a kasha about when exactly he might have come back, if he went back there in the first place. But certainly, he might have been Hasach, right, by
right,
Esther,
but even
near,
if he was,
Mordecai.
We know that he, we know a record of him after Nebuchadnezzar.
There's no question. We have a few records of him, because Belshazzar, for sure, we have from.
Oh, right.
Right? Yeah, that's for sure.
Well,
and then the kasha is whether it was.
Right.
Let's say he was Hasach, right, then he's definitely around during the entire time. But regardless, there were many people that didn't go back. So Abarbanel says that this is the meaning of what was happening over here. He's like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to tell them what they were doing wrong up until now. You know, it says, people did not listen to this idea. You know, Kasich Toreris, they turned a rebellious shoulder, and they hardened their ears, not listening to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted over here, and not being involved over here. Okay, so if you will notice, by the way, they didn't ask about two other fast days. They asked about Tzom Gedaliah. Or, no, they only asked about Tishba, really.
They only had two fast days, other than
Shivas of Tammuz.
No, Shivas of Tammuz from the second day.
Now, it's the ninth of Tammuz. I know.
Where do we have a record?
We don't have a record, because we don't know until Megillas Tainus, and Megillas Tainus is written during the second day of Hamikdash. But the ninth of Tammuz, or what might have been the 17th of Tammuz, it was Yushalmi that says it was really the 17th of Tammuz, and Yirmiyah, remember we talked about this, Yirmiyah was so sad that the date was off when he had spoken out the Nebuah.
Where do we know that it became a fast day?
We don't know that for sure. We know about Tzom Gedaliah, because Ezra and Nehemiah talk about it later. We know about Tisha B'Av, right, mostly because of right here. Now the kasha is, what about the others? We're going to see at the end of the parak that those two fast days are referenced. Shivas V'Tamuz and Asar V'Tevis. We're going to see that they were referenced over here. But notice over here that this, the other three, they didn't go through. So it could be that they understood that the other three, they didn't even ask about Tzom Gedaliah, but Hashem said, and Tzom Gedaliah. It could be the other three they felt for sure were abolished. Once the people started going back, you don't have to worry about the other three, but Tisha B'Av. There you go. That's the kasha. Now do we still have to have
Tisha B'Av? Then why did Hashem not add on Asar V'Tevis too? They were fasting on them too.
About Asar V'Tevis. Now, we'll have to see. He does give a reference to it, but it is interesting that he said Tzom Gedaliah. Maybe because those two were the ones that they were immediately asking about, but I don't know.
Could it be that it became something later on? Because isn't there a puzzle that says Soma?
Yeah, we don't have something like that. Oh, that's it. That's what we're going to get to that. Yeah, that's what we're coming up to. Zachary is mentioning those. All right, the Libam Samu Shamir Mishmal Satira. It says in Pasuk Beis, they made their hearts like a Shamir from listening to Torah. Now, the Shamir worm, we all remember, is the famous idea, the thing that Shlomo used in order to make the stones. It's from a Pasuk like this, where everybody says, you see that it wasn't an actual animal. How do we know it wasn't an actual animal? Because Shamir seems to mean some type of a very hard stone, possibly a diamond. And that's what it's referring to over here. They made their hearts as hard as diamonds, Mishmo Esoterra. How does art school translate it?
Iron.
Iron? Okay, I hear that. A very hard type of thing over here.
How can it mean iron? It's used to cut stone. You can't use metal to cut stones to make them either.
Hardened rock is what it's going to have to be. And diamond would be the most likely. Yeah, it's by far the most likely. If I remember correctly, in the, you know, the red guys, the whatever those guys, I believe he said diamond over here. There are three other places where the word... Oh, can you grab it? Thank you, Chaim. There are three other places in Tanakh where the word Shamir is used. And each one of them seems to indicate a very hard stone. It doesn't mean worm. That's not that. That's Chazal that say that Shamir was a worm from the Gemara and Git. Takasha, I don't have a full answer for that. I spoke about it a little bit on Shavuos night because I brought down all the sources of where it came from. But for that reason, a lot of people want to say the opposite. You got it? Thank you so much. Oh, so let's see. It's Zion, right around here.
Zion Yabez.
Yabez. Leave us some with Shamir. As hard as a Shamir, it translates it over here.
Duck the issue.
Yeah. Look at this. Here. A worm stronger than flint. They would show it to the stone, which would split. That's Rashi's pshat. Rashi is referring to a worm known in ancient times to split stone. Right? And that's that. Ibn Ezra and Doc say the Shamir is a very hard stone, which iron cannot cut. So it's interesting that it calls it hard. Oh, Mitzudas Tzion says very hard iron. And Shamir is also mentioned in the Yefezel. Gimel Tess. I'll bet that's where it translates. It is diamond. Yechezkel Gimel Tess. That's that. You don't have to look up that one. But either way, but it's around there. All right. Anyway, it says Yechezkel Meitz Hashem Tzvakos. It was a great angel. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the Devarim Hashosholach Hashem Tzvakos Baruch Obiyan Neviim Rishonim. And against the words of Hakadosh Baruch Hu sent through the original Neviim, but Yechezkel Meitz Hashem Tzvakos. It was a great anger that came from Hakadosh Baruch Hu because they didn't listen. But Yikasher Karav Lo Shemayu, when he called out, Hashem called out, and they didn't listen. Kini Kuvlo Hashma. So they will call, and I will not hear. Omar Hashem Tzvakos. That's what he promises. And then, as a storm, I will scatter the Jews to the nations they did not know. The land will be desolate of them from any passerby. And they will have made a delightful land, a tremendous land, into Shama. Now, this could be that Zechariah is hiding within his words, trying to tell the people that in the end, because you didn't do these things in the second base of Mikdash and you practiced Sina Sinam, therefore you were all destroyed. It's possible that's what it refers to over here. Okay, now we're going to see that Zechariah quotes down that the second base of Mikdash is really the opposite of what you're thinking. They're thinking that it's more of a temporary structure, something that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not involved with, something that we're lucky enough to get, but it doesn't really count as anything. Zechariah says, you don't understand. This has the possibility of culminating in Mashiach coming. If we treat the second base of Mikdash well, then Mashiach will come from the second base of Mikdash. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky is a huge piece of this, speaking about what the result of all this was if they did it correctly. They didn't, and it didn't lead to the third base of Mikdash. But regardless, this is the idea behind it. What are we going to
say? Maybe this was discussed when I wasn't here. But didn't they all know about the 70-year Nebuah?
They all knew about that, of coming back from Babel. The kasha was what exactly it meant and when you start counting. So yeah, maybe they felt that it counted from a different point.
Okay, but moving to a different point. I mean, eventually, like 30 years later, they would have realized, okay, that 7 years passed the Chodesh.
Maybe 7 years you could start to come back. That doesn't mean everybody has to. Maybe that's it. But not everybody has to come back at that time. Also, Yirmiyah's Nebuah was also a little unclear when he said 70.
Seems like there's a lot of Musar relevant nowadays in those things.
No, yeah, 100%. It's scary, you're reading this through and you're just like, wait, what am I here for? Like, I felt terrible when I was reading this. I didn't know what to say. Like, honestly, now again, what could you say? You could say, well, the base of Mikdash is still not ours, we're not building it. But that means that
you can always find an excuse.
I know, can you imagine, like, if, you know, something happened, like Temple Mount was abandoned by the Arabs, so, like somebody went up to them and said, guys, Mecca's that way. And they're like, oh gosh. They all run away, right? They walk away. And then all of a sudden we step on the base of Mikdash, and we're going to sit here being like, well, it's not built yet. we're such losers. Honestly, we are such losers. It's like, that's exactly what Zechariah is complaining about. I feel bad. Hashem Tzvakos Lamor. Doesn't stop me, though, of course. I am zealous for Tzion with a tremendous zealousness. I have a tremendous anger, a great fury that I'm bringing about, right? And that's what's going on. I'm saying, I see that the people should live, those people that are living in Tzion right now. Kol Hashem, Shati Yol Tzion, Mashkati V'zoz Zoyim. I'm going to return to Tzion. I'm going to live, dwell amongst Yerushalayim, meaning my Shechina will come back. V'nikra Yerushalayim Yir Emes, and Yerushalayim will be called the city of truth. V'har Hashem Tzokos Har Kodesh. And the mountain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the holy mountain of Har Moriah. It's all going to come back. Kol Hashem, Hashem Tzokos. Oh, Yeshua, Zekanim, 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 Yerushalayim. There will be old men and old women in the streets of Yerushalayim. In other words, they will not be worried about anything. The old men and old women will not be able to run away, will be able to sit in the street and not worry about a single thing, not worry about anything. And people live very long lives. They will not have to fight wars, which means they won't have to worry about living, you know, they'll be able to live long lives. This, seriously, this whole Nebuah, by the way, as a side note, can very well be translated into our days today. People will have their staves in their hands because there's such old age right over here. Now, Chazal bring down, the Medrash brings down over here, that the staff in the hands is like the staff of Elisha that he used to revive the dead. Remember, he handed the staff to Gehazi to go awaken the child. It didn't work because Gehazi used it for something else. But in that sense, Tchias HaMesim is going to come up, or these people will be Zocha to be able to do Tchias HaMesim itself.
Even if you just look at the shot, I mean, what was the life expectancy?
I mean, you'd assume like 7. Honestly, if you take children into account, yes.
Right, but if you look at today,
no question.
Thank God, people are very old. You know, a lot of people walk.
You have old age homes in Jerusalem, and they're walking around. 1,000% true. Pazakay. And at the same time, the streets of the city will also be filled with young men and young women. Playing in the streets. Now look at this. Says Chazal from this as well, that there's not going to be a Yetzirah, and that the young boys and young girls will play together. It doesn't just refer to little kids, but it's young men and young women, that there will be no Yetzirah, no urge for them to be together, and that they'll still be able to be together in Yerushalayim. It's going to be a strange fellow in the eyes of those people in those days. And the truth is, it's going to be awesome in my eyes as well. I'm going to be shocked by what I see over here. It's going to be unbelievable. And there's no question. If anybody from back then would look at the streets of Yerushalayim today, with cars, with trains, with buses, with everything, they'd be shocked. They couldn't understand it. They wouldn't be able to define what they were seeing. It would be too much of a pella to be able to go through over here. Now, this is the famous Nebuah, as everybody knows, right? The famous idea that we're mentioning over here is in the end of Makos. Remember that whole story with Rabbi Akiva? Why are you laughing, Rabbi Akiva? Why are you crying? He said, until now, I saw the Nebuah of Uriah and the Uriah of Zechariah, right? It seems like one is dependent on the other. Uriah says that the whole thing of Tzion is going to be a field. It's Akasha. That's a bit of Akasha. Probably Yeshaya. Most probably is a reference to Yeshaya, something Yeshaya says. That everything's going to be in ruins, everything's going to be destroyed, etc. And Zechariah says old men and old women are going to dwell in Yerushalayim together with young men and young women. As long as Uriah's prophecy was not fulfilled, I thought maybe Zechariah's Nebuah won't be fulfilled. Once I saw that Uriah's Nebuah was fulfilled, right, that it's totally desolate and a fox is coming out from the base of Mikdash and the Romans are all over, now I know that Zechariah is going to be fulfilled as well. These are the psukim that Rabbi Akiva was referring to when they said Akiva Nechamtanu, Akiva Nechamtanu at the end of Makos. That's the reference over here. It's right over here. Not only that, Oz Yamale Skok Pinu Ushonenu Rina, which we say in our Shira Malos, then we will laugh out loud. Our mouths will be filled with laughter. Rabbi Yochanan Paskin said it's also for us to be Mamale Piv Skok Polam Hazi. You cannot laugh out loud to the point where you know how like you're crying and you can't breathe. You're not allowed to laugh that way. I'm not saying that I never have, but you're not supposed to laugh that way. Oz Yamale Skok Pinu. That's when they'll do so, and that comes in. And there's going to be Bechira, a paradox, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu. They're going to have Bechira, and they'll choose not to sin. That the men and women will be in the same area, and they'll choose not to sin. That'll be unbelievable. Come on, I wish that were true.
Well, the only way you could really have that Bechira is if there is a Yetzirah.
Correct. Meaning there will be a Yetzirah, and it will defeat it. Now, I said before, there's not going to be a Yetzirah. But another shot would be that there is a Yetzirah, and they're still able to defeat it. That's how great these people will be in the future. Says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, I'm going to bring and deliver my nation from the lands of the east. That would be Babel and Paras, which today would be very difficult for us to understand. That would be the least, you know, area where the Jews would come from. From China. I mean, it depends on how many Israelis are in Thailand at the time. But you'd assume that there's not that many people around those areas. Eretz Mavoa Shemesh, and so to the lands in the west, from Mitzrayim and Ashur, and nowadays we'd say Europe and America, right? The idea is where they basically said, I'm going to bring down.
Mavoa Shemesh means rising in the east is Babel. When you're in Eretz Yisrael, the sun rises in the east.
I was talking about Hashemesh, the sun setting. Uvah Hashemesh, the sun setting. The sun comes back. You know what I'm saying? It's Seis Hashemesh is when it comes out to the world. Bo Hashemesh is when it comes in. Ve'edetio sam v'shachem v'sol Yerushalayim. I will bring them, and they will dwell in the midst of Yerushalayim. V'halulam, they'll be my people. V'ani'alam l'olim, I'll be their God. V'hamesu v'tzaka.
Maybe Eretz Mavoa Hashemesh is America.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Europe and America. Yeah, the western side. V'hamesu v'tzaka. Now, I will be their God with emes and with tzedaka. With everything that they need, I'll give them more. I'll give them the truth, and then I'll give them even more righteousness for the people. Let your hands be strong. The people that hear in those days, the Devarim Ha'ilim can be in these words from the hands of the Bim Hashem. On the day that they founded the Beis Hamikdash, the Eichel, that it should be built. Don't go back. Don't think that it's too far in the future. It's not going to happen. It will happen. Don't worry about it. Right before those days, there was no person who would hire the man. In other words, the Jews would not be hired out to anyone. They wouldn't even hire their beasts. In other words, they wouldn't even rent their animals. Those going in and out, there was no peace from all the enemies and all the terrible things that were happening. When I set every man against a friend, where people did not trust anyone, and everybody hated each other and fighting each other and everything like that, right before the this time, it was going to be terrible and things were there. This is the reference to Itvasa de Mashiach. What is Itvasa de Mashiach? Hopefully it was fulfilled in World War II. And these are the days leading up to the actual Mashiach's coming, and we never have to deal with this, anything like that ever again. Nonetheless, unfortunately, it is a possibility that we're going to come back to a time when this will be true, and that trust will not be there, and it's going to be hard for everyone. Plus, get out. That's how Loki Amin Rishonim and Elisha Eretz Almazet. But I will, and now, I'm not going to be to the remnant of the people as I was before New Mashiach Sukkos. When the second Beit HaMikdash is being rebuilt, it's going to bring down brachos. Hopefully, that won't need to happen. Ki Zera Shalom HaGepen Tzitzer Yom. There's going to be the seeds of peace, and the grapevines will give its fruit. Ba'aretz Tzitzin Tzula, and the land will give forth its produce. Tashmayim Yitnu Tzalom. The heavens will give forth its dew. Ve'inchalti Asher Zalmazet at Kolela. And I will inherit to all the rest of the people all these things that I speak of. Ayikashar Yisam Kol Ha'Magayim. Just like you are a curse among the nations, Beis Yudah, Beis Yisrael, Beis Yudah and Beis Yisrael, that both of you were cursed, and everybody said, oh, don't be like those guys. I will save you, and then you will be a bracha al-tiro. Never be afraid. Make your hands strong. Don't worry. In the time when everything goes badly. The same way that I plotted to do evil against you when your fathers angered me, says Hashem, and I did not console myself, and I didn't take back that anger, and I punished them accordingly. So too I will now plot in those days to do good to you, to Yerushalayim in the house of Judah, Al-Tiro, and therefore do not be afraid evermore of anything that's going to happen. These are the things that you're going to do. Everybody has to speak the truth to their friend. And you have true Mishpat Shalom that's going through here. Now, although we said in the last parak, it could be that this was months later or years later. I don't know what it's going to be exactly. Do not think of the evil your friends have done in your hearts. Do not love speaking falsehoods, in other words, lying or shuls. That is what I despise. So Kadosh Baruch Hu once again seen us again in Pesuk Yud-Chas, V'yidivar Hashem Tzivakos Alay Leimor. Kol Hashem Tzivakos Tzoma Revi, V'tzoma Chamishi, Tzoma Shvi, V'tzoma Asiri, Yeh Lebeis Yudah L'Sasim L'Sim Kol Amadim Tovim V'Emes V'Hashem Mahavu. All of these fast days, Tzoma Revi is Shivasu B'Tamuz in the fourth month. Tzoma Chamishi is Tishvav in the fifth month. Tzoma Shvi is Tzom Gedalia in the seventh month, Tishrei. And Tzoma Asiri is referring to Asar B'Teves in the tenth month. They will be for Beis Yudah L'Sasim L'Sim Kol Amadim Tovim. Happiness and frivolity. And Mo'adim Tova, Emes Vashom Alavu. I'm sorry?
It's a good call. It seems like we always need that day of tshuva. Perhaps if we don't have any sins, then we won't need it anymore. But yes, I think we always have that day of tshuva.
But these days of fasting for korban, that's not going to happen. Emes Vashom Alavu.
Is this the end of the answer to the question?
Good call. So it seems that you asked me originally what we should do.
So
in these days, when this happens, that's when they turn into chag.
But maybe what he's telling them is, guys, you're asking this question in Bavel. When the streets of Jerusalem have kids, and when the streets of Jerusalem have the old people, meaning if you guys all move here,
exactly,
then
exactly. But you're asking about the fast. The fast doesn't matter, says the Kaddish Baruch. You're forgetting that. Wait for the days to become chagim. That's what I'm looking for. So in other words,
who decides that the gate? I guess it's easy to say, oh, when Mashiach comes. But it seems like there's some sort of interpretation here necessary.
Correct.
That, like, come here tomorrow. If everybody in Bavel comes here tomorrow, we'll be able to make a holiday.
Yes.
I mean, we don't have a Nevi'im nowadays.
Correct.
This is this.
Correct.
So how do we know?
I don't want to say the funny thing is. The sad thing is, we don't. The sad thing is, there is no way to define it. Nonetheless, what Zechariah was telling them, and by the way, as a side note, by the way, that whole thing about Tessa Talmuz and Shavasa Talmuz is mentioned over here as well. That's the Machlokas Tanoim, what it refers to when it says the Tzomer Avi. Regardless, what this is referring to is, it's not exactly an answer to their question. You guys are asking what to do. He nailed them for saying, what are you fasting for? You think I care about your fast days? It's not what you should be asking. You should be asking, is this the time to move back? And the answer is, says Zechariah, move back. And if you do, it's Chagim. And if you don't, then yes.
So just
Takashi, you can fast, you don't fast, whatever you want to.
In Israel, you should also not fast in the fast days. That might get a lot more people back out.
Or if
you, go for the Shifra Tishuba. If you're in Israel for Shifra, you don't fast.
That's terrible.
Why is that terrible?
Yeah, I know. I hear what you're saying. It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
One day. Yeah, that's right.
But I do, obviously, that is the answer, and yet not an answer the same way.
No, but
right? In other words,
no,
challenging the Jews by answering their question. Sort of like how a Jew answers a question with a question. So, should we stop fasting? I don't know. You come back? That's really what he's saying.
That seems to me that
seems like you may, I mean, obviously I'm not, yeah, I'm not passing or anything, saying they're making argument that you should. I'm saying it seems to me that when you see all these things.
Yes. Notice, by the way, he never said anything about building up the base of Mikdash over here.
Yeah, just sort right? of like.
At the end of text, he says, there should be Yom Yusad Beit Hashem Tzivokos Ha'echa Libanos, when the foundation is made. Maybe that's a reference to, you got to wait until then. But nonetheless, he didn't mention in this Nebuah, this is a brand new Nebuah. What? Oh, no, at that time. But I'm saying for now, whether that applies or not, that's a bit of a caution. Now, just so you know, Emes and Shalom, he brings down to the very end. It's an interesting little call over here. Beis Shammai was always known as Emes. And Beis Hillel was always known as Shalom, based on a Gemara Ksuv. It's the famous Gemara of Yibanos. What do you say? Ketzad Meraktan with Ne'akala. How do you dance in front of the Kala? So we all know Hillel's line was Kala Noah the Chasuda. Right? So Shammai said back to Hillel, he said, let's say she's not. Let's say she's not. Well, what if she isn't? How can you say that? She said, Kala Kamos Shehi. That was the line that Shammai used to sing. So it's okay, because you're saying about every lady. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it's not like,
so Shammai would not say, Shammai would not say, like, okay, we have to go to the dance, you know, the band, and say before, and we'll go to certain bands, and we'll say, like, Kala Noah Chasuda. And by other bands, we're like, Kala Kamos Shehi. That's not happening.
No, I understand.
Shammai said, you always do Kala Kamos Shehi, so nobody's embarrassed, but that way you're always telling the truth. The pshat is that Shammai was so into the truth, into the MS, he couldn't even lie for Chesed. He couldn't lie to be able to make Chesed. But Hillel was the man of Chesed, saying, you know, sometimes you gotta tell the Chesed. Let's finish off this paragraph. The people in the inhabitants of many cities are going to come in, but hopefully all the inhabitants will go one to another. Lamor, Neocha, let's go. Halof lachalos ben Hashem, let's dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the box of Hashem, so close to Gamani. Let's go find and give favor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'll go together with you. It's referring to the Jews, seemingly, not the non-Jews. And then the other nations are going to come through. Although it did say Asher Yavo Amin, maybe it does refer to that. But all the people come to Goyim Atzumim, and very strong nations. Levakas Hashem, so close to Jerusalem, and lachalos ben Hashem. They want to have requests. Now they're asking questions. 10 men of every one of the 70 nations, they'll grab onto every corner of the Jews saying, let us go with you because we heard that God is with you. 10 men from every nation is 10 times 70. That's 700 men on every corner, meaning 2,800 men will be on your four-cornered garment. The Gemara darshans from this, there are 2,800 avodim for every Jew lost at level. You know the cool thing over here? If you count the world, I think I did the cheshbon before, and I might not get it exact. If the world is 7 billion strong, then we would need, I forgot what it is, it's something like 6.5 million Jews to be alive to get to the 7 billion. It's something like that. I don't remember what the number was.
More than 6.5 million Jews now.
Yeah, those that survive or that go through. And so we'll say, whatever it is, however many people was, I did the cheshbon before and I forgot to put it down over there, but to make 2,800 of them for every Jew, the 2,800 non-Jews for every Jew, the cheshbon works out to our numbers, very close to the numbers today. Not exactly, but it comes out close, which is an amazing idea that all the people could survive and they would grab onto each one of our corners. Then the Mialoi says, it's very important to always wear tzitzis for that reason, right? Because they're only going to grab onto your tzitzis if you're wearing the tzitzis. So you got to wear tzitzis for that reason.
A lot of room on their fellow's hands.
I will tell you, Aaron Friedman, I don't know if anybody remembers Aaron Friedman, from Skokie. Aaron Friedman one time, you know the story, I think you know the story, but Aaron Friedman was coming from, yeah, you remember it? Aaron Friedman was coming by, he just finished working out, and it was at night, and he had to go to Jewel real quick. It was like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. He was dead tired. He's going to sleep anyway. So he took a shower, got his sweatpants on, sweatshirt on, and was going to put on his tits, and he's like, what's the difference? I'm just going to Jewel, and I'm going right back home. So he goes over to Jewel, he's walking into Jewel. This black guy comes up to him and says to him, hey man, are you Jewish? And he said, yeah. And he said, where's your strings? He's like, what do you mean? He's like, you can't be Jewish if you're not wearing strings. And he's like, no, I'm really Jewish. My strings are in my car. He's like, nah, man, you're not Jewish if you're not wearing your strings. See, the guy calls me up immediately, and he's like, you wouldn't believe what just happened. I'm never taking off my tits ever again. Like, obviously, that doesn't happen all the time.
You don't have to admit to it, right?
There's no chiyuv. That's what he's saying. He's saying to me, like, should I have told him there's no chiyuv at night? I'm like, no, you should have worn them even at night. Like, that's the answer. That's the way to go. And 2,800 about them based on those tzitzis is an amazing idea that comes through over here. All right, we're up to Parak Tes over here. We'll stop with this for right now.